Think I'm on? Yes, I'm on. Good morning, guys. My name is Mark. For those of you who haven't gotten the chance to talk to today, briefly as we walked in, this is my second time being to this church, and honestly, it's one of the most welcoming churches I've been to. So you guys, hospitality-wise, you're up there in regards to just where I've been. I just want to thank you for all that you're doing in this community, and yeah, I'm British, as you can probably tell by now. And I just came back from a month of being home for two weddings. So two of my best friends got married and I had the privilege of attending. So my accent might be a little bit extra strong today, but I'll try to kind of numb it down for you guys to understand me. I'm from England. I'm going to CSUP and I got a year left. I'm going to be a senior, 1 year left and I'm done. Thank you, Jesus, for taking me through that. We've got a clap there. There you go. But as I was in England, right, for the past month, I was so excited. I was excited to see all my friends and all my family. I was excited to see my best friends get married. And then Pastor Shane, I know he's away. I hope you're having a good time wherever you're at with your family. But he texted me and he asked me whether I could fill in for this Sunday. And he just told me how you guys were going through the life of David. And I believe the last psalm that you went through was Psalm 34, 36. I'm not too sure. And when he told me this, I was set. I was set to carry on from where he stopped, looking at the life of David. But as the week went on, when I was still in England, and I got the chance to meet with some of the people who poured into me as a young believer, I've only been a Christian for about 3 years as of this summer, actually. And kind of when I was back home, I just had coffees. I had coffees with the people who kind of helped point me in the right direction to where Jesus was. And as I was kind of having these coffees, it just hit me like this felt so good. This opportunity to meet up with the people who invested in me, the people who did everything for, not everything for me, but just wanted to point me in the right direction, wanted to point me towards Jesus before I made that decision. And I texted Shane and I asked him if I had free range to kind of fall away from the life of David. Just following that, because I wanted to talk about discipleship today. So I decided to go with discipleship. So discipleship is what we're going to be talking about today. And the bulk of where we're going to be sitting in Scripture is that famous John chapter 15, talking about the vine and the branch and where we kind of abide in Jesus and kind of see what that looks like. Firstly, to start off, a basic definition of what a disciple. A disciple has always been someone who has someone above him who is looking at. He's looking to become more like that person who is investing in him, who is mentoring him, and who's just all time spending time with him, just to teach him the ropes of something, right? But when you look at that term disciple in regards to our Christianity, that disciple in regards to Jesus and his 12 disciples, we see that same thing. We see 12 people wanting to become like the teacher. We see 12 people wanting to become more like Jesus. So when we look at the biblical definition of disciple, it's becoming more like Jesus, right? Not hard at all. So as we see this kind of unraveling in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see. No difference between a Christian and a disciple. Because nowadays, I feel like people have kind of got into that in that position of thinking, you become a Christian, and then you become a disciple. But as we read through the Gospels, that's not the case. A disciple is a Christian is a disciple. Those two, they are not mutually exclusive. You can't be one and not the other. And when we look at how Jesus just taught his disciples, right? We know that he was with them for about three or so years, just investing in them, living with them, traveling with them, going through the good times and the bad times, right? I mean, we know the disciples. We know there were a lot of bad times before Jesus left, right? Because when he was with them, they were just like, if I'm being honest, just like below average, just saying things that didn't make sense, saying things that went against what they were being taught by Jesus. But he sticks with them, right? He teaches them the right way. He explains to them what his Father's will is, and he carries on living life with them. And we see Jesus in three aspects. We see him as a worshiper. of his father, of God, a servant to his own disciples. And we kind of see that in John 13, when he washes their feet, right? And we see him as a witness on his father's mission to seek the lost. And we see that in countless amount of times throughout the Gospels. So those are three aspects that we see Jesus in as he's on earth with his disciples. But if I was to ask you guys this question, right? How reflective are our lives to these aspects of Jesus's nature when he was here with his disciples? How reflective are we being in our community as worshippers of God, as servants to the people that he's placed around us, and as a witness on his mission? And before we kind of unpack, before we kind of go further, I just want to pray. So if we could close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord, I just thank you again for being so good. I want to thank you for bringing us together today as a congregation to just listen to your word and to be able to just refill for the week that's to come. Lord, I pray that as we dig into your scriptures, that we're able to just listen to what you want us to listen to, take in what you want us to take in. Lord, I pray for this next few minutes that there's a lot less of us and a lot more of you in this room. And it's your name we pray this. Amen. So those three aspects, right? So if we just look at that last aspect, which is Jesus being a witness on his mission, how does that link to being a disciple, right? I would say you must be a disciple of Jesus before you can think about taking part in his mission. We must be able to accept him for who he is and for who we are, or for who he tells us we are, before we can think of going out on that mission with him. But how does one grow as a disciple of Jesus? As I said, we're going through John 15, 1-13, and I'm just going to read those 13 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Right, I know you guys are thinking there's a lot of times I've said the word abide. There's a lot of abides in those 13 verses, right? So the first point I want to talk about today in regards to how we can grow as a disciple of Jesus is we must abide in him and him only to be a disciple of his. As we've just read through those verses, it's this sort of dependency. It's this sort of, I want to come to you before I think about doing anything else in my day. I want to be able to wake up in the morning and my first thought is what you want me to do with my day. Who do you want me to talk to? Who are the people in my life that you've placed around me that need to hear your good news about you being their Lord and Savior? Being able to trust that he loves us and that he will always take care of us. Being able to abide in that truth. Being able to fully believe in it wholeheartedly. Verses 9 and 10 and 12 would give us direct instruction. As the Father has loved me, so that I loved you, abide in my love. And how would you do that? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we've sang about love. I think all the songs. As I was worshiping at the back, I was thinking, this goes so well with this sermon. Thank you, Kayla, for doing that. Everything about being a Christian is about loving. Now, nowadays, we see this branch away from the type of love that we should be showing. We see a love that is sort of selfish. We see a love that has no intention. It's just being a good person to your neighbors. It's inviting and taking care of people. It's being able to be nice to people and just being able to gather with people, and which all these things are good, right? Every single thing that I just said is good. I mean, if you wanted to invite me out for a meal, I'm not going to say no. All these things are good. But it's the fact that, what is the intention behind these? The love that we read about in Scripture, the love that Jesus shows the people around him, is a missional love. It's a love that is described as making more disciples. Like we just said, a disciple and Christian, same thing. When Jesus is showing love to the people that he does, it's a love that wants to see them saved. It's a love that seeks the lost. It's a love that wants to take people from darkness into the light. It's a love that has intention and is on a mission, making more disciples. Now, if Jesus' love is a result, right, or a fruit of abiding in him, and abiding in him is sort of a how-to discipleship method, then this leads simply to the fact that this same love should be overflowing from us as Jesus' disciples. A love that is on a mission. And if you're sitting in the congregation right now and you haven't experienced that type of love, or maybe you are feeling it because he's always knocking. If you don't know him, he's always knocking on your heart. And maybe he's knocking, maybe you're hearing him a bit louder this past week than you have ever in your life. There is the gospel message. I always call the gospel message the greatest love story. I'm not talking about the romantic films that we see, like The Notebook or anything like that. I'm talking about the real thing. The real thing of a man who knew no sin. A man who was God, a man who decided that he had to be the sacrifice for us to know him. He had to be that sacrifice to get us from darkness into light, to give us opportunity to be in relationship with him and his Father. The gospel message. The message that we've just been singing about. How much time are we spending abiding in Christ during our days? Are we leaving him towards the end of the day? The back end, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to do my 9-to-5, I'm going to make dinner for my family, I'm going to watch some TV, and then before I go to bed, I'm going to give him 10 minutes, and that's about it. How much time are we spending abiding in him so that he can talk to us and he can tell us how to be missional, how to show that same missional love? Abiding in Christ should give us the drive to see more disciples made for his kingdom. This is the love that we see Jesus talking about throughout the Gospels. And we must always remember this. We must always refresh our memories and our minds of this love. If you're with me, clap once. If you're with me, clap twice. Sorry, I know sometimes people may get sleepy, so I like keeping people awake. So my next point, we are all commissioned to make disciples, every single one of us. If you're with me, high five your neighbor. A bit louder. There we go. So we're all commissioned to make disciples, every single one of us. It is not something that we leave for the church leaders. It's not something that we leave for the people who might be more spiritual, and I say that because that's not true, who might be more spiritual than us. If you are a disciple, if you have accepted that truth that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, he has commissioned you to go make someone else, to go present that truth to someone else. And we read that in Matthew 28, verses 19-20. he just tells his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe. This is at the end of his time with disciples, at the end of 3 or so years of him living with them, of him doing life with them every day, of him getting tired of his disciples, but him still sticking with it and knowing, these are my disciples. And it's hard. People are hard. Working with human beings is extremely hard. I think all of us, we're smiling, and it's true, because we know it's true, right? But we're all commissioned to make disciples. And I just want to hit this point again. Disciples, as disciples, we're not second-stage Christians. We don't accept Jesus, become a Christian, and then graduate into discipleship school. The word Christian didn't even come into the New Testament until Acts chapter 11. That was the first mention of the word Christian. There were always disciples. We disciples are not second stage Christians, but rather Christians are disciples from the moment we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Who are you wanting to see saved? Who are we spending time with in our community who may not know Jesus? Who are we spending time sharing the gospel with? Who are we praying for? Who are those people that are on our minds when we wake up and we think to ourselves, I can't wait till I talk to this person because I want to show them who Jesus is. Prayer is an important thing in this situation, because I know a lot of people might find it hard to share your faith with people, but prayer goes ahead of you. We know how important prayer is. Praying to see people saved. Who are we doing that for? Are we just building some sort of comfort around us that is completely blind to the amount of lost people that are around us? Are we sitting in a community of believers forgetting that this bubble needs to get bigger? We can't be happy with just the 20 of us being believers. Let's go out and try to multiply. Let's go out and follow what Matthew 28 tells us to do. We must recognize the mission that we're on and how needed we are to the people in this community. My third point, discipleship occurs as we do life with one another. The minute we disregard the importance of intentional community, we weaken our approach to seeking the lost. And like I said, community, when I mentioned a few of the things that that without intention kind of go the other direction, community is one of them. Community is something that is beautiful. Community, being able to lean on someone, being able to have a brother or a sister in Christ to encourage you, to pray for you, and to go through life with you is beautiful. That's how we're meant to be, right? Once again, Jesus was himself and he had his 12 brothers with him at all time. Community is beautiful, but let us not forget the intention of it. John 13:35 highlights this as it reads, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He's talking about a group of people. Like, if you guys are together and you have love for one another, people will see you and recognize there's something different. It's enticing. It really is. It really is enticing when people recognize that a group of people are different from who they are. And conversations come up. Why are you different? Oh, let me tell you about this guy called Jesus. If you're with me, clap once. Yes. Discipleship occurs as we do life with one another. We see this throughout the Gospels, right? We see Jesus and his 12. We see Paul with Timothy and Luke. And we see Barnabas with Paul. And we see these other groups and pairs of people who do life with one another. one being more mature in their faith, and he or she is pouring into the other person with the hope that they're going to repeat it and repeat and repeat, and we see this chain of more believers coming. And we see that in intense numbers throughout the book of Acts. Crazy numbers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, we see this sense of Paul telling Timothy and commissioning him to go out and do with others as Paul has done with Timothy. I didn't actually write that down in my notes, so I want to read it from the screen. You therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul doesn't want it to end with Timothy. He doesn't want to invest in someone who is just going to keep that truth to themselves and not carry it out into the community that they're in. Jesus didn't want to do that with his 12 disciples. He commissioned them at the end to go out. And had they not listened, where would we be? Had the 12 disciples not spread out to the rest of the world like Jesus told them to do, what would Christianity in America look like today? Discipleship is something I love because I like talking to people. I find it refreshing when I see a new face and I get to talk to them, right? But and I do college ministry, I'm involved with FCA on campus. That's been the best opportunity for me to meet freshmen or transfers, students who are looking for a new community around them. Because God has placed me there. He's placed me there for a reason. I believe that reason is to carry on spreading his word to the students on that campus. And maybe for you guys, as in your workplace, I'm seeing a few students in the room, you guys in your schools, he's put you in these particular places because he wants you to be on mission with him in those places, to want to see more disciples made in those places that he's placed you, to share the gospel that has seen us have the chance to be in relationship with him. So once again, if you're in the room and maybe you haven't accepted that truth, I'm pretty sure the leaders or even the person next to you, if they have accepted it, they'll be happy to talk to you about that transformation of accepting that message. And I just want to pray us out as we go into our weeks, as we go back into those pockets of life that God has placed us in. So if we may bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, I just want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be in the areas of life that we're in, whether that's school or work or anywhere else, Lord, that you've placed every single one of us. Lord, I pray that we're able to accept and believe in this truth that you want us to make more disciples, that you want us to see your kingdom grow. And Lord, I pray that we're able to just proclaim you in these areas, proclaim you with a love that these people have never seen, a love that will be linked to you straight away, like we just read in your scriptures, a love that will group us different from the rest of the world, a missional love, a love that wants to see and seek the lost. God, I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you so much for dying for us on that cross. Thank you for paving a way back to you for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that they're doing in this community. Lord, I pray for the outreach events that they're already participating in, kickball on Wednesdays and anything else, Lord, that they're able to just carry this sense of a missional love to the rest of their community. Let us be bold. Let us be brave. And let us be all these things for you and your kingdom. And it's in your name we pray these things. Amen.